Good evening. I just want to start off by saying, my days, those lights are so bright. Can we turn them down a bit? I can't see anyone. I just want to start off by saying massive thank you to everyone that's involved. I don't know if you've noticed, but on the screen behind us before my PowerPoint's come up, we've had drawings that the Impact kids have actually drawn for us. And that drama as well, they've only had 20 minutes over the past 4 weeks really to practice it, and it's turned out really well. So I'm really proud of them. So a few months ago I was walking out the back of church, and I came across this sign, and it says please leave free on it. I don't know if you can see it. And I was looking at it and I was wondering, what's this for? I had just one of those mind blank moments. I was looking at it because I thought that it meant please leave spiritually free. And I was like, do we hold it up or hand them out as people are leaving? Obviously, I realized it was actually just for reserving a seat at a wedding or whatever. But it got me thinking about this idea of freedom and what it means to be free, and maybe what stops us from truly embracing that freedom. So I think freedom is something that we all crave as humans. It's evident in human rights. We want freedom of speech. We want to be able to say what we want to say. We want to be able to do what we want to do. But as Christians, from a Christian perspective, I think we need to talk about freedom slightly differently. So a lot of people will say they are free to do something. When I became a Christian, I came back from India. It was two and a half years ago now. Came back from India. And a lot of my friends were non-Christians. And they would say to me, why would you want to be a Christian? It's all these rules. It's all these guidelines. You're not free to drink. You're not free to lie. They'd hold me by this higher pedestal almost. They would say, well, that's not very Christian, is it? If I did anything that was a little bit questionable. And it was all in jest, but I think it's a common view that's shared between a lot of people that Christianity is just this big rule book that we've got to obey and got to abide by. And I think the reason that that comes about is because people argue that they are free to do something. So like I said, they are free to drink, they are free to lie. But from a Christian perspective, we've got to know what we're free from before we can even move towards thinking about what we're free to. And as the passage that Liam read, I love that passage. It's one of those passages that I was preparing for my talk, and I wanted to underline the verses that jumped out at me. And every single verse I just wanted to underline because it's just an amazing passage. And the passage says, we were crucified with Christ. And when that happened, all that guilt, all that weight, all that pain associated with sin, the big black cloud of sin as it's described, all that in our lives was obliterated because Jesus took the sacrifice upon him and left us to live a free life. So that's what we need to understand. We need to understand we are free from the power of sin. Sin no longer has a hold over us. So then we're free to live a life that's new, that's free. And it's a life that I believe is more vibrant and more full. I believe it can make mundane things exciting. So for example, I work at Barton Grange at the minute in the cafe. And when people say to me, what are you doing with your life at the minute, Dan? What's going on? I'm like, oh, I work at Riverside Cafe. I'm just trudging along, ticking over through life. And as I was planning this talk, I was just like, what sort of an attitude is that to have? To say I'm ticking along, say I'm trudging along. Because I realize it's not what I'm doing. It's how I'm living and who I'm living for when I go. So my first thought in the morning no longer has to be, oh, another day at work. Although it probably is, obviously, it's hard to get out of bed. So maybe my second thought doesn't have to be that anymore. But my second thought can now be, great, I get to go into my workplace. I get to show love to my colleagues. I get to serve my colleagues because I'm free from this power of sin, because I've been freed by Jesus and what he's done for me. And that's amazing because Barton Grange, it's not challenging and it's not exciting. It's not an amazing job to have. Not criticizing anyone else that works there. but for me, it's not that exciting. But the joy that comes from knowing that I can go and serve my colleagues and love my colleagues, it's just so freeing and so life-giving. And something that my dad used to say was, you get to the age where you enjoy giving gifts more than you enjoy receiving them. And I think that's the same with anything in life. To go out and give, to go out and serve, not only is it rewarding to those people, but it's rewarding to yourself. And the first step of that is saying, okay, Jesus, you died for me on the cross. These sins that were in my life, this weight, this power that sin had over me is just broken now and it's completely gone and you've erased it. And that's not to say that we're never going to sin again. That's not to say that all the broken messes that were in our lives are just going to disappear. But it is to say, well, that doesn't really matter anymore because Christ is my identity and Christ is my strength. There's the famous verse in Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And what Paul was saying then was, he'd been through trials, he'd been put in prison, he'd been beaten, but it didn't matter because Christ was his strength. Christ went before him. And that's so freeing to know, okay, I'm going to face trials, I'm going to face persecution maybe for my faith. As Haley said, get called God Squad, get called Bible Basher. But that doesn't matter because Christ is my identity and Christ is my strength. And he's going to help me through anything like that. However, there are some guidelines and there is advice on how to live in the Bible. Like my friend said, isn't it just a big rule book? Well, no, it's not just a big rule book. But there is advice on how to live. Someone jokingly said once, I just found this quote, it says, absolute freedom is being able to do what you want without considering anyone except your spouse, your kids, your company, your boss, your neighbours, your friends, the police, the government, the doctor and the church. And I just thought that was awesome. Like if absolute freedom is just, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it. I want to say this, so I'm going to say it. Then chaos will just ensue if we just think about ourselves only. And if I was just to get you lot to do a quick raise of hands, if you were to say you were free in a political, like societal sense, who would put your hand up? No one. Okay, that's not what I was expecting. Well, I'll use the example of America. So if you go to America, you know the eagle's like the symbol of freedom, isn't it, in America? And they all think they're free. They all say they're free. But laws are still applied in America. So you still can't murder. You still can't speed. And they're things that the government have put in place to ensure the safety of the nation. But they would still say they're free. And in the same way, these guidelines that the Bible have, it's not to restrict true freedom. It's actually to enable true freedom. You were made in the image of God. It says that in Genesis. You were made in the image of God. And true freedom, it doesn't come about by running away and hiding from that. It comes about by embracing that and living out that image and just saying, okay, God's created me and he's died for me. The power of sin is no longer over me. So I'm going to honor that and I'm going to live a life that reflects that. And it is paradoxically a type of bondage. We're called slaves of Christ in the Bible, referred to as slaves of Christ. And Martin Luther said, a Christian man is the most free lord of all and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all and subject to everyone. And I read that and I was just like, what? Like, that is so contradictory. But what he's saying is, okay, we're free from the bondage to the law, as the passage says. We're free from sin. Because of what Jesus did, that is what's happened. We don't have to do anything. There's nothing we have to do. But because of what he did, we get to serve, we get to love, we get to grow in a relationship with God. And if you don't get the get to, then you might not truly understand the joy of salvation because it's not imposed freedom. It's not a chore, or it shouldn't be. It should be where we get to wake up each day and think, I'm going to go into my workplace, I'm going to go into my home, I'm going to go into the wider world, and I get to serve the people that are around me. And it all starts by just saying, okay, I am a sinner, but I want to be freed from that. And I'm going to accept this sacrifice that Jesus has taken for me. And we get to live this free life. But there's still a few things that I think we, as humans, let get in the way of that freedom. And over the past few weeks and months, there's just been a couple that have been on my heart to share. And the first one is burdens. And it's this idea of baggage. So things in your past or things currently that you're facing that just have, you know, that heavy weight, that feeling of I can't shake it, consuming all your thoughts. It might be an addiction. It might be a tough family relationship. It might be the guilt associated with sin, whatever it is, this idea of baggage. And I saw a quote once that said, you know you've met the right person when they look at your baggage, whatever you bring to a relationship, and rather than run away because it's too scary, they pick it up with you and they help you to carry it. And like, that's nice, I like that idea. But I just want to say, God doesn't just help you carry it, like he'll just pick it up for you and he'll carry it for you. He's like one of those porters. I don't know if anyone saw it, it must have been about 7 years ago now, a comic relief thing where they climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. And I remember seeing these porters that go up Kilimanjaro, it was celebrities. And these porters, they just carried all the bags for the celebrities, like because they're just used to climbing and they're so much stronger. And in the same way, God's like that, but times like infinity. Our burdens, our baggage is so small compared to his might. And that's not to say that his heart doesn't break if he sees us sinning, or his heart doesn't break if he sees us upset. But it's just saying, wow, God is mighty and God is powerful. And what is my burden compared to him? He wants to take it from me and he wants to pick it up. And it's beautiful because it doesn't just stop there either. It doesn't just stop with him carrying it. He'll unpack it as well. So you've come back from holiday and you've got a big, you know, one of those like heavy hard case suitcases, and it's full of like wet, dirty clothes and maybe like food that you've forgotten and it's gone rotten in there. Pretty grim. And God opens it up. And he takes out all those dirty clothes, and they represent all the burdens that you're facing. And he just takes them out, and he helps you to come to terms with them. And then he takes out all that rotten food that represents the guilt associated with sin, or anything that you can't deal with that people have done wrong to you in the past, and he helps you to come to terms with them. And then he repacks it, and he puts in new clothes. And he clothes us with righteousness, and he sees us as clean before him. And he puts in new food, some bread that you can eat each day. And that's the Bible. And we've got this book where we can go and we can learn more about God. And we can grow in relationship with him and understand who he is and understand the freedom that he's got for us. And instead of putting it into this big, hot, heavy, hard-shelled case, he packs it into a little rucksack, and you just sling it over your shoulder and you go on your merry way, because it's lightened now, and he wants to do that for you. But we're still stubborn. We still can't let go of those burdens sometimes. We still don't want to admit that maybe we need help. It's like, have you ever seen World's Strongest Man when they do the aeroplane pull? Like, there's a picture of it. It's crazy how they do it. I don't know how they do it. Maybe Paul Rowe can show us sometime. But it's like that. We've got a chain, and it's hooked up to our baggage, and we're straining with all our might, trying to move this baggage, trying to deal with it ourselves. And God's like, I'll help you with that. And we're like, oh no, it's all right, God, I've got this one. I don't need your help. I can deal with it myself. And we're trying to pull it, and it's just not shifting. And God's like, I don't think you understand. I want to help. I want to take it from you. It's not a case of God looking down and saying, oh, I see Dan's got this issue. I wish he would deal with it himself, but I guess if he can't, I should probably stay true to what the Bible says and help him out. I should probably do that. It's not a case of that. It's him saying, come to me, those who are weary, and I will give you rest. He wants to take it. He wants to free you from it. And all those consuming thoughts that come with these burdens and this baggage, well, once we've given it to God, once we've put God first, they don't just go away. It still exists. It's not magic, click of the fingers, and they're gone. But what it is God makes it lighter. God will help you to deal with it. You can focus on God, and you can focus on the freedom that comes with accepting this truth. You don't have to be constantly worrying and thinking about these things anymore. And you can live in a way that you were meant to live. You can be who you're meant to be. And that kind of brings me on to my next point, which is the second thing that stops us truly embracing freedom. And that's this idea of wearing a mask. And what I mean by that is we can project any image of ourselves that we want to. So I might actually be the most insecure person. Let's just say I got up on stage, I speak to you all. I might go home and cry because I'm so insecure. I'm not saying that that's true, but I could. We can come to church, we can make people believe what we want them to believe. We don't have to be vulnerable. We don't have to show people who we really are. And it's this idea of looking at someone and thinking, oh, I wish I was like them. Why are they better looking than me? Why are they smarter than me? Why are they better at music than me? And you might say, oh, I wish I was confident. I wish I could get up at the front and speak to 1,000 people. But God says, okay, you can't do that, but I made you with the amazing ability of speaking to someone one-on-one and building that person up just as much as anyone who could get up at the front and speak could. Or you might say, I wish I was good with new people and that I didn't feel awkward in those situations. Well, God says, I made you with the ability to build a strong relationship over time, and that relationship will be just as strong as if you were confident and not awkward in new situations. Or you might say, I wish I was more academic. I wish I could write a book or go to university and study. Well, God says, I made you an absolutely amazing artist, and any artwork that you do could inspire someone just as much as writing a book or whatever it is. What I'm saying is God created you and he knows what he's doing. Psalm 139:13, I think, says that God knit us together in our mother's womb. And the most amazing picture that I've ever heard this described as is God looked at the world and he had a purpose that he needed fulfilling. And he looked at each individual person, and none of those people could fulfill this purpose. So he created you. And that's not to say that when I go out there, if I choose to drink tea instead of coffee, that it's going to affect this greater purpose. That's not what I'm saying. But God created you for a purpose, and you are the best version of you. And if you can live that out, that's understanding what this freedom is. You're free to be yourself because of who Christ is. And the reason that I think this mask is dangerous, not only does it make us want to be like others, when it comes to sin, this mask can be dangerous because we might try and pretend that we're not sinners. We might say, oh, everyone's a sinner, but really we don't want everyone to know that. I'm not going to get up in front of you all and share a long list of my sins, and I'm not saying that anyone should do that. But sometimes we might even hide it from our own friends. We might hide it from ourselves even. It might get to the point where we try and justify ourselves, or we do that thing where we say, well, it's all right that I'm doing this because I'm not doing that. I'm not that bad, so it's okay. Or I've got a reason for it. And why that's dangerous is because it can get to the stage where we maybe try and trick God into thinking that we're not a sinner. And it sounds silly because, like the Bible says, God counts the hairs on your head. He knows all your thoughts. He knows your heart. But we try and trick him. We try and hide from him and pretend that we're not a sinner. And that's not embracing this freedom. That's not embracing the gift that Jesus has given by sacrificing his life for us. Yes, we're going to sin. We're all humans. We've got that sinful nature still battling against the spirit that's inside of us. But Jesus has already landed the knockout punch. It's like turning up to a fight and your opponent being on the floor. Not that you should fight anyone. But it's your opponent's on the floor. There's no fear in that confrontation anymore. And in the same way, there's no fear in confronting sin. There's no fear in saying, Lord, I am a sinner. God has given us grace. God has given us this freedom through grace. And part of that grace is accepting our repentance. So we don't have to hide. We don't have to pretend to be perfect. That's what the Pharisees did. And Jesus didn't really give them that much time. They thought, oh, I have to live like this to get to heaven. Well, I'm saying, no, we don't have to. We can accept that we're broken. We can accept that we're a mess. But what Jesus did makes us clean before God. And that's embracing this true freedom. So the final thing that I'm just going to finish with is an image. And some of you might have heard it before. But it's this idea of a fish pond. And before we were Christian, and if you're not a Christian, don't take offense at this. But before we were Christians, we were like a goldfish in this fish pond. And our entire world was this fish pond. We didn't know anything outside of it. We were the alpha male, we're top dog in the fish pond. No predators there. We can eat what we want. We can swim around all day, think our thoughts. We can live in it. And that fish pond's the world. And God's just like, I want to make you a frog. And that sounds funny, but he wants you to come onto land. And the land is where you can meet with God. It's the spiritual realm. And he says, okay, you're free to live in this world. You're free to enjoy this world. but I want you to come out of the world and meet with me. You're not confined to this world. You can live in it, but you're not confined to it. And he wants you to meet with him. He wants you to come and read the Bible. He wants you to understand this freedom that he's giving. So I just pray and urge you tonight, if you're feeling like you've got burdens, if you're feeling like you're trying to be something that you're not, if you've never embraced this freedom before, you've never given your life to Christ, I just pray that you wouldn't waste this opportunity. When I looked at this card and I said, please leave free. Well, church is that amazing opportunity. We can come here and we're surrounded by believers and we can get down at the foot of the cross. We can take our burdens off. We can put them at the foot of the cross. We can take our masks off and we can come with honesty before God. We can give our lives to Jesus here. And I just pray that you would leave free. So I'm just going to pray now, and then I think the worship band are going to come up and we'll move on. Father God, I thank you for this gift that you've given us. I thank you that you've enabled us to live in freedom. And I pray that each one of us could just know that freedom. If we already believe, I pray that you could just fill us with that spirit and that knowledge that freedom is available to us, and that we can go through life dancing, not just trudging through. And I pray if anyone here hasn't come to God yet, hasn't come to know Jesus, that you could just touch them tonight and help them to understand this idea of freedom. Help them to understand that this weight of sin doesn't have to hang over their lives anymore. I thank you for everything that you've done for us, and I pray that you can bless us as we go out over the next week. Amen.